I'd like to welcome everybody to the conference call. I spoke with Father. He asked me and Jesus to, let me rewind. Father and Jesus asked me to give them their love, and I give you my peace. I spoke with Father a couple days ago. He dictated a letter, and I read to you. All right. That my very dear Team Triland, over the past months, many changes have taken place to assure the success of this team and my plan. Many hearts have been broken and soiled. Some of you realized where Satan was influencing you and causing confusion. Others refused to see past their own need for self-importance. Instead of humbling themselves, they decided they knew better than me and my son, and because of this action, they have been permanently removed from the team. I can tell you that this was not an easy task for my son to make. No one's heart was broken more than his. A few days after this action took place, I told him that the evil was now removed from the team, and he could now move forward with confidence and security with those who remained and were recently added. I must share with you how I feel about all of this. Through time, I have always tested the hearts that have served me, and in this instance, I have done the same. I needed my son to see the hearts of those on the team as I saw them. Unfortunately, some of the hearts were corrupted and full of evil. They let their own pride and ego take over and began to listen to Satan and all he was telling them. I can also tell you that this was going on for a while, not just a few months. I know that this is difficult to accept. They were your friends, comrades, and many of you fought together side by side. Nonetheless, I expect your hearts to serve only me. My son has taught all of you well to discern what is around you, to understand what your heart is telling you, and to always trust in your gut feeling. This is a new year. It is now a new beginning. This team is secure. It does not matter how many years you have been on the team or how short your time with the team has been. All of you were chosen by me for this work to help and serve with my son for all of mankind's sake. Oh, I know that this is a bit overwhelming to hear. Beloved, you are no different than those who I chose in the past that you read and hear about in the services, but yet you are very special to me. Now let us all join our hearts together in oneness and in love. Let us learn from the past and leave it there. My son will share some details with you about all of this and expound on a few things in the meeting. When he is done with this topic, I would kindly ask all of you to forgive those who were removed. If you still struggle with forgiveness towards each other, then come to me, and we will talk about this. Grace is the salve I give that heals all wounded hearts. I have plenty of that for those who seek it. No, I have bound all of you together with a special love that all will now see. When you are together in a meeting, together spending time, or you speak to one another, you will feel different towards each other. No animosity, no jealousy, no competition, just respect, admiration, and pure love for one another. This is what the world needs to see from all of you. You are not of this world. I gave you an energy that is completely outside of this creation, and all of you have become a new creation. You are not better than any soul. Your responsibility is greater, just like those who have served me in the past. Remain humble, small, and meek towards me, my sons, and your fellow teammates. But at times, I need you to be like my son, the Lion of Light, who roars and warns the world as he protects them and helps them to understand my plan. You are his friends. You are here to serve one another and to protect each other. Together you will stand as one heart protecting billions of souls living and in the beyond. The world will scorn and scoff at you, but I will raise, teach, and protect all of you. Satan's greatest wish is that more of you will fall. He has done this now with your fellow teammates. Do not give him an ear. search your heart and see the truth in all things. I have given all of you this ability. Now use it. Be strong, wise, and even cunning against our great foe. Be tireless against this fight, and never waver in your determination to help bring my son's bride home. My love for all of you is greater than you will ever know or understand. But I do think now you are starting to realize just how serious all of this is. There are no games. There is no more time. I need all of you to keep your word to me. Trust in me and serve me. I am always with you, and I will always love you. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. I would like to officially welcome Jeremy, whose healer name is Atmos, and Derek, whose healer name is Nucleos, to the team.
Welcome to the team.
Yep, go ahead. Tell, say whatever you want.
Welcome, welcome. Woo-hoo.
No doubt.
I'm so sorry.
No traces. You were supposed to say that for later. They're not done training.
Oh, wait. Oh, crap. I meant yay.
Yep. You have to wait until they're fully trained. Then you say that.
There you go. I warned them both, and they still said yes. So.
Oh, and I've heard plenty of stories, and I still said yes. So.
Mm-hmm. I took the time. I sat with Father, and he told me to put together the description of what your names mean and what he believes, why he picked those names for you. And I emailed all of you your names. I thought, to start the meeting off, we'd do something a little bit fun this time. So I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the description of this healer, and then you guys guess who it is. Okay?
Cool.
Then what I'll do at the end of the meeting is I will email you the master list with everybody's name and everything that is their definition and description so everybody has a copy of it. And I'll email a copy to Fred as well and ask him to post it on the website. All right, so let us start with this person. A quality or state of calmness, peacefulness, quiet, or serenity. Father said this, she will be filled with a peace that attracts all those who seek it. She will become a lighthouse of joy that attracts the downhearted and the lost. With a touch, she will calm a restless heart. She will become a pillar of strength and nobility in desolate times. The definition of nobility is nobleness of mind, character, or spirit, and exalted moral excellence. Who do you think this is?
We all know who it is.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
It's Luminous.
Tranquility.
Oh, I was wrong.
There you go. You do not collect $100, and you do not go past goal. All right. Here is the next healer.
Nice.
Something that makes things visible or affords illumination. An illuminating agent or source as a sun, a lamp, or a beacon. The radiance or illumination from a particular source having light. Bright, well-lighted, to give light, or to furnish light. Flowing in a channel or a water course, as a river or a brook. Father said she will become a stream of joy. She will give light to the sick and lost. She will flow love into the hearts that seek after me, meaning Father. She will illuminate hearts with comfort. Who is this?
Brilliant.
Lightstream.
There you go. Ding, ding. Brilliant. Super 2.
You had the water thing got me.
Yep. All right. Here's the next one. An envelope of energy surrounding a heavenly body or souls. A surrounding or prevailing mood, environment, or influence. Father said, he will give a positive atmosphere to those who come in contact with him. He will surround, protect, and defend all souls. He will encourage and influence all souls to come to me, meaning Father. He will be a positive force in this negative world. Who is this?
Atmos.
Ding, ding, ding. Well played. Here is the next one. The combining form, meaning three, using in the formation of compound words, the godly number. Father said, he has the faith of three human beings. He will become a grand example of faith and endurance. He will become the fire that lights up the confused souls and will become the source of light for many. Who is this?
Trice.
There you go. Well done.
That's a cool definition. I never heard that one before.
There you go. Here's the next one. Something that makes things visible or affords illumination, having light, to give light, furnish with light, or illumination. Self-luminous, heavenly bodies. A heavenly body, especially a planet, considered as influencing mankind and events, to shine, be brilliant, or prominent. Father said, she will shine into the darkness and attract the lost souls. She will be a source of light and strength in perilous times. She will understand clouded hearts and bring them illumination. Who is this?
Illuminant.
Nope.
Brilliance.
No.
Light star?
Yes.
light star?
We're kind of running out there.
I got
the names on a whiteboard, and I'm crossing them off as I go.
What a student.
You're smart.
Awesome. All right. Here is the next one. A great brightness, or as of a fine diamond. Excellence or distinction. Conspicuous talent, mental ability, etc. Splendor, elegance, or magnificence. Father said, she will see and understand life and all situations outside of the moment. She will have clarity and shine as if she were personally cut and faceted like a diamond. The light that shines through her will be like a prism of multi-layers of faith that all will be attracted to. Who is this?
Brilliance.
Yes.
Yep.
And you know it when you talk to her. That's exactly it.
That
That's beautiful.
Boy. All right. Here it is. Radiating, reflecting light, shining, bright, lit up, illuminated, well-lighted. Father said, she will illuminate the destitute. She will enlighten all those who come to her. She will see things that others will not. She will reflect the light that I give her. Her greatest work will be done for those in eternity. Who's this?
Luminance.
Yep. There you go. All right. One of over 1,000 known extragalactic objectives in appearance and having spectra with characteristically large redshifts that are thought to be the most distinct, distant, and most luminous objects in the universe. He will transmit light to the hearts that are filled with darkness. He will shine confidence and trust in me and become a beacon in this bleak world that is filled with doubt. He will attract those who others feel are not worth saving, but he will help save them because I am sending him. He will become a powerful advocate for the downtrodden and the destitute. Who is this?
Quasar.
Yes. Here's the other one. Operated or powered by atomic energy. A central part of which other parts are grouped or gathered as a core. Father said, he is small in stature but will become a very powerful healer in my name. He will destroy all evil that prevents the soul from coming to me. The light, energy, that he will bear will shine into the darkness and blind the enemy. you will attract and become the core foundation of faith as an example for many, including his own family. Who is this?
Nucleus.
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 What? Nucleus.
That's a pretty strong definition.
You like
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I'm going to call
I'll tell you what, guys. Wait till you give him a healing. You'll see the string.
Awesome. And then there's this one. Extremely active and highly variable radio, electromagnetic, and optical emissions. They are the most violent phenomenon in the universe, Father said. You'll become a powerful healer, warrior. You will shine brightly in the darkness and find the lost. You will transmit truth and draw back those who have left me. You will blind the enemy and destroy all those who oppose me. Who is this?
Blazar.
Blazar.
That sounds like him.
and he follows it up with a warrior cry.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That is the 10 of you that are on the list.
Nice.
Can you read your name again?
You want to know my name?
Yes, please.
Triland, you will embody harmony, compassion, service, and nurturing. Basically, pretty simple. You guys are kind of
That's it? That's all you get?
That's all you get?
Well, there's also the protector of the bride, drinker of peppermint tea.
Oh, yeah, right, and that part in Revelations.
Right, I forgot about that. Very funny. Okay, I had a meeting last week with Trisus and Brilliance, your generals. We discussed my expectations in helping all of you. They are your supervisors, per se, but I want you to know that you can still reach out to me anytime you want to, and some of you have, and that's okay. The generals and I will be speaking to each other every week, and we're going to have a meeting at least once a month. And what they're going to be doing is I've asked them to periodically contact you, and because we all need to stay connected in some way. But I want you to understand that if you feel that the situation that's bearing on you is better addressed by the general that is not your immediate supervisor, don't hesitate to contact them, okay? I didn't create these teams to create a separation in any way. I did it because it's too hard for me to manage all of you at one time, but I want you to feel free that you can contact anybody you want at any time, okay? I want there to be communication with everybody. I'll also tell you that the generals are going to ask you some very direct and very specific questions sometimes. They're not doing it to play any game with you. They're doing it because they need to understand where you're coming from, and then we're able to help you through this situation. If we have a conversation outside of this team and outside of the circle of people who know us, I'm going to ask you a favor. Please do not refer to each other with your healer name, because people who are outside of the circle are not going to be aware of what you're talking about or who you're talking about. It's going to create confusion and problems. So if you're going to tell a story, I have in the past excluded all names at times. Just like when we do a healing on somebody, we never give the person's name. But I will tell you this, that if you give a healing and you have questions or concerns, you can tell your boss, you can tell your general who you are talking about, and they will keep it to themselves. Okay? I need to make sure that we don't give Satan any room to twist something that you say when you're speaking to a teammate or anybody outside of this group. He's going to try his best to stick his fingers in our pudding again. He's going to try and mess up everything as much as he can. I have had a little conversation with him briefly. I need everyone to be on their guard because he is not going to let up. Does anybody have any questions at that point? Okay. I would like to add something more to our meetings. I want it to become more interactive, kind of like what we did today. The Disc Apostle Kolb had the year beginning meeting with everybody, and he said it's easier to listen than to participate. We are all learning from each other, even me. Some of you share your experiences. I would like you to not hesitate to ask any questions during the meeting. If something isn't clear, then I need you to ask immediately, okay? If you're not comfortable in asking in a group setting, then send me a text, send me an email, and we'll figure out when we can talk, because I don't want there to be any confusion or any misleading information that you don't completely understand. I need to know that we are all secure in everything we're doing and understand what it is that Father expects from all of us, okay? I've decided to do a full disclosure with all of you and share information with you about the four teammates that are no longer on the team. I'm going to warn you that some of this might be hard for you to hear, and I am not using this moment to tear anyone apart. I'm using this moment as a teaching moment. Do not let Satan twist this in any way. I have worked for many organizations, and I have come to find that they like to keep things to themselves. And then what happens is rumors are created, innuendos, and outright lies about the situation. I'm going to tell you everything that took place that weekend that we had the last meeting. I will tell you what they said, what took place, and there will be no innuendos or rumors at that point. And that's why Father addressed that I will share with you some of this information. And then once we are done with this part of the meeting, he's asking all of us to forgive them, to forgive each other, and let's move on and leave it in the past. Okay? Lori contacted me. I'm sorry?
I just said sounds good.
Okay, awesome. Lori contacted me through email, and she basically said to me, I never had a problem following you as supplanter and doing what you've asked of me, but now that you're Tri-Land, it sounds to me that you're going to be kind of being more constraining to us, you're going to be expecting more of us, and I'll be honest that I cannot make all the team meetings as much as I try to, so for the sake of my faith and my family, I think I'm just going to step down. I love all of you dearly. I appreciate your help. Do you mind if at times I reach out to any of my teammates and ask them to help me with healings? And I responded with, I respect your wishes. I understand where you're coming from. And yes, you can talk to anybody you want to. I'll even be willing to give you guys healings if you're comfortable with that too. Just because you're not on the team doesn't mean we're not friends anymore. And that was basically the conversation I had with Lori. Kira contacted me Sunday afternoon. And she basically said to me, I am a single mother. My children are the most important thing to me, and they come first in my life. I have enjoyed being on the team, and I do not wish to step down from the team, but it is your decision whether you believe I can serve you in the capacity you're asking me. I have tried to meet the requirements for the meetings, but because of my work with the school and my family, I can't promise you that I'm always going to be able to do it. And I would gracefully bow down and step off the team. It is not what I want, so I will leave it up to you. I responded with her and said, the time constraints of this responsibility is only going to become greater and more complicated. For the sake of you and your family, I think it's wise if you step down now. I'm going to miss you. I said, and I appreciate all the service that you did for us in the past. I said, but I also want you to know that John and I would still like to come visit you and your family at times, if that's okay with you. And she responded with a smiley face. Stacy contacted me through a text and basically said, I choose to serve Father. I choose to serve Joy. I choose to serve Peace. And I wish everyone the best as we move forward into the future. The entire purpose of the meeting was for everyone to understand that wrong was done, to apologize and acknowledge what wrong was done, to ask for forgiveness, and to not do it again, to forgive each other, and to move forward. For some reason, Stacy didn't understand that. So I responded back to her and said, you still have something in your space, so I question the validity of your text. I'm going to give you a little bit more time to think about what you just said and get back to me. During that time, I had Brilliance reach out to Sydney because I didn't realize she was actually on the call. She actually got on the call about 30 minutes late, and I had Brilliance reach out to her just to talk with her to make sure she understood what took place, to inform her of what was going on, and I received an email from Sydney saying, I'm going to stay on the team. I responded back to her and said, I'm a little confused as to how you can acknowledge anything that took place in the meeting. I'm looking for something a little bit more here, so I'm going to give you a little bit more time to understand. And I let that go. Within 30 minutes later, Stacy emailed me and said that she talked to Blazar and that he had given her a healing and went into her heart. They ended up finding a portal that led them to Father. And when they got to Father in the throne room, she was holding a box. She said that the box had all of her gifts in it. And she responded back to me and said, what does that mean? And I said, Father has suspended your gifts, and the portal that he gave you access to access him has also been suspended pending my decision to let you back on the team. I said, I need you to understand and acknowledge what took place. I'm going to let you know tomorrow if I'm going to let you stay on the team or not. 20 minutes later, I received an email from her saying I regretfully stepped down from the team. And I responded with, I accept your resignation. I didn't hear anything from Sydney that night. I went to bed. In the morning, I woke up, and I received about a four-page email from Sydney basically saying to me, I don't know who you are anymore. I understood who Zuplanner was. He was a teacher. He was a friend. But I don't know who this Triland guy is. I don't know what God you think you're serving. You treated us like you were a father beating your children and then telling us that you love us. God would never appreciate anything that you did nor support any of these actions. I'm tired of you thinking that you always have the last say in everything, that you're the only one with a clear mind. I want to serve. I want to help out on the team. I want to be a part of this, but you need to pull your head out of your ass. And then I kind of just stopped reading at that point. I didn't respond to her till about 6 hours later in the afternoon on Sunday, and I basically responded to her and said, I serve the Lord God, creator of everything, who is my Father. I cut and paste the beginning of the meeting where Father said, my son has some hard words to say to you. Please listen to what he says. I said to her, my Father doesn't change. And in the Old Testament, there were times where he taught, he chastised, he punished, and he even destroyed entire people and nations who didn't do what he asked. He is still that exact same being. My Father supports me. I stand in his full power and authority. If I remove somebody from the team, he will take these gifts away from them, and I will take these gifts away from them, and this decision is eternal. I am letting you know, effective today, you are no longer part of my team. I thank you for your service, and I wish you all the best. And that was pretty much the end of what we discussed. After this weekend of all these things taking place, I ended up having many conversations with a bunch of different people who said that when they had conversations with Stacy, she was teaching things outside of what I taught. They had strange feelings when they would have conversations with her. I was a little unnerved by that information. I was not surprised. And that's why Father made the statement today that this had been going on for longer than months. It had been going on for a very long time. I need all of you to have the courage to bring things to my attention when something feels wrong. I will never use your name when I reach out to somebody else. And this is not about ratting each other out. This is about protecting each other. Because if I would have known, maybe, in advance that all this stuff was taking place with Stacy, I would have handled her completely different. I did not want to lose anybody off the team. I want you to know that. I will address now the reason why I'm bringing all this up. Basically, Stacy and Sydney allowed their pride and ego to take over. I'm going to tell you now what ego is. Some people call it edging God out. Dictionary.com says this: the I, or the self of any person, a person is thinking, feeling, and willing, and discussing itself from the selves of others, conceit or self-importance, self-esteem or self-image, or your feelings are more important than anybody else's. My definition of this is you put your own importance above Father's needs by drawing attention to your own self-importance. What is pride? Dictionary.com says, a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority. whether it's cherished in the mind or displayed in bearing conduct, the state of feeling or being proud, becoming a dignified sense of what is due to oneself or one's position or character, self-respect or self-esteem, pleasure or satisfaction taken in something done by or belonging to oneself or believing to reflect credit upon oneself. My definition of this is allowing your opinion to weigh more than Father's will by taking credit for what Father is doing through you. I would like to read Matthew 20, 25 to 28. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We are all here, my friends, because we are serving our Heavenly Father. We are here to protect each other. We're here to fight for one another. We all have our own pride, and we all have our own ego. And I have held many meditation classes where I have pointed out that ego is not a bad thing if you keep it in check. You must be aware of the fact that Satan is going to play on that every time he can, every moment he can. He's going to try and tell you that you're doing all of these things because of you. I'm warning you, do not listen to him. You and I are nothing without Father. And I know that this last 6 weeks has been very difficult for many people. I'm going to ask you to please, if you see Stacy or Sydney, to reach out to them and just say hi. I don't want them to think that we are not friends with them anymore, that because of this decision we don't want anything to do with them. That is not the purpose of this. They are our sisters. We still love them. We still support them. And we need to be there for them if something happens down the road. Does anybody have any questions about anything that's been presented at this point?
I do.
Okay.
This is it. I haven't seen Sydney, period, in church, but I feel like I've been, like Stacy's been avoiding me. I mean, I probably haven't gone out and made a strong effort to say hello to her or even bring up a conversation, but even when we've been within proximity of each other, I mean, I've just been completely ignored, so I've just kind of let that go.
And that's okay. If that's how she's going to choose to accept this, then you've made an effort. I don't want anybody going out of their way to force ourselves on them. And try not to take it personal, because she knows she was wrong in what she did, and she's trying to work through it. And I'm praying for her, and I'm going to ask all of you to keep praying for them as well, because the last time I checked her space, Satan still has his fingers in their mind. Okay, but they're the ones who have to fight through this. So, anybody else have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I'd like to say something. They really need our prayers, for sure. I have not had any interaction, and it really breaks my heart. It really does. But just before Kathy went on vacation, she got a text from Stacy, and Stacy, they actually talked, okay? And Stacy wanted to give her side of the story. And Kathy said, "No, I don't need to hear that, and I don't need that. That's I'm not involved, and I don't need it." And I was very proud of her for doing that. Yeah. But, you know, just the fact that that right there is happening, you know Satan is involved, and it's a bummer.
Right. I agree.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I appreciate everyone's kindness and consideration, because I can't imagine that this was the situation was easy for anybody. And as far as Sydney, my understanding is that she was in Florida visiting her dad, and then she went to visit her grandmother in, I forget where Stacy's mom lives, so she hasn't been in town. I haven't talked to Stacy much, because she was in Florida as well. I gladfully say that the few conversations I've had with her were not uncomfortable, were not accusatory. I'm excited to report that because I was concerned the first time that I was going to talk to her, you know, after this, that it could be uncomfortable. And I'm excited to say and to report that it wasn't any of that. So not only do I want to recommend that everyone, you know, watches out for Satan, but you have to watch out for him in your own heart as well. Because, you know, a lot of times someone's action or non-action, we sometimes make assumptions about what that means. So you know who you are and you know who you serve. And, you know, for any child of God that is going through something, my concern is for all of us not to make any assumptions or, you know, to insinuate what someone's behavior or lack of behavior is, because this isn't easy for any of us, and it certainly isn't easy, you know, for them either. So I just wanted to say I'm really proud of everyone, you know, continual prayers and just being kind and generous and letting Father sort this out while the healing continues and until the healing is complete.
Perfect.
Good, thanks.
I just want to make sure that everybody's rotating your team leads. Just going to remind you of that every it's up to you if you want to do it every 2 weeks or you want to do it every 30 days. And if you want to re-rotate back through again to make sure you're comfortable, you have complete control over how long you want to keep that angel in the lead position. But I need you to cycle through all seven of them because I want you to make sure you understand and know every single one of them. Okay? We have about 22 minutes left, and we have a ton of stuff here still to go over. Brilliance, I'm going to hold off the whole Ten Commandments thing until the next meeting. All right?
Sure.
All right. Trisus has a subconscious experience he wants to share with you, and when he's done, I ask Lightstream if she would share an experience she has. When Lightstream's done, I ask Atmos. He has a little bit of a experience he would like to share with the team. And then I asked Brilliance to put together a format of what the dailies are for everybody, and I will email you a copy of that, but I wanted her to kind of quickly walk through it with everyone, and then if anybody has any questions, we can go over it. Okay? So, Trisus.
Okay. So, this was from when we were supposed to get into our subconscious. We were made aware that evil can get in there, and you know, there was a discussion of making sure that your subconscious was clear. Going back over the years, I've had nightmares, bad nightmares. Brian can attest to that. Several ex-wives can attest to that. Nightmares, like, I can't wake up nightmares. And I had mentioned that to Lindsay, and she had said that most likely could be the evil. So I went into my center of my mind. I have a training wing or a dojo, I call it, and that's where I started. Where do you look for your subconscious? That's where I started. I was in the room. I asked my team lead to hold the center of my mind so I could concentrate. After a few minutes, I ended up finding a door or a hidden door in the wall. I pushed on that, and the door opened, and it turned into a passageway. It went up, so I asked my lead to come with me, and we ended up getting into this tunnel going up, and it ended up into a grand room or a gallery. It was weird, though. It was very strangely lit. Couldn't really make out images well. I liken it to like being in a dream almost, right? Your subconscious, where you have lots of things happening. And there really wasn't any clarity other than there was a bunch of light and images. I even asked my lead, I'm like, do you see anything? What, you know, what's going on? You know, what do you look for? Well, you know, you'll know when you see it, right? You've heard it in movies. It's like a joke. When something looks out of sorts, you'll know. All of a sudden, from above, a darkness came down, like a giant cloth or a cloak being pulled up over the room. I don't even know how many demons it was, but it was like how bats come flying out of a cave, and they came just down on top of us. And needless to say, we fought for a couple of minutes, and decimated whatever it was. I mean, it happened so quickly. There was no, hey, you do this, I'm going to pull out my sword. I mean, we were plugging and killing and slashing. It was astounding how quickly it happened. After the fray ended, I looked around, and obviously with heart pounding, like, okay, what's the next thing? I looked around, and I saw cords or tentacles attached to different parts of my subconscious all over the place, and it ended up into a bundle. And I looked off to the left, and I see this giant bundle. Of course, it's black, and it's following down this one corridor, and I asked my lead to follow me, and we end up going to this one part of my subconscious, darker, and we notice that this bundle of cords is now going down somewhere. Obviously, I guessed it's probably going to hell, right? We gathered forces, and we started falling down this tunnel, the entryway. Normally, and this is going to sound funny, I can't believe I'm saying, normally when I go to hell, it's a gentle corridor, or there's a marching, or there's a transition. This was odd, because we just fell almost, I felt like I was falling. My body felt like I was falling. No fear. That's what was different about this time. There's a little fear and trepidation the times I've gone down into hell. This time we went with a purpose because it was personal. This wasn't somebody else. This was me. This was my brain, my subconscious, and we went down there. We drop out of a ceiling in a cavern into hell, and for those that have not been there, hell is dark. It's very odd because the only brightness is coming from you and your forces. So if you can imagine being in a room and you can't see anything, but you know there's something there. We ended up landing on a plane, a field, and instantaneously there was no hesitation. My lead and almost at the same time we attacked. We ran towards whatever forces were there because obviously we're not supposed to be in hell. That's not our dominion, but we have been given permission to go. We fought and fought and fought. I can't even describe. It felt like hours. It was only a few minutes, though, to my physical body. But we fought and we decimated it. It was a victory beyond something that I can even describe. And it wasn't even a choice of, hey, we're down here to mince words and we're going to beat our chests and swords. It was, you guys screwed up. You shouldn't have been here. Stop. We're going to kill all of you. I did notice Satan standing in the back on a berm in the back, like he always is. And I yelled out, we are not claiming this part of hell for Father. We are not doing that. We don't want it. We're leaving. We turned. And as we're turning, more forces are coming. We ended up going back up the cords to this top of the cavern. And I ordered my lead to start disintegrating or destroying, collapsing the tunnel, the passageway that was created. The cords instantly disappeared. And as we're climbing back up or flying, however you want to imagine it, the tunnel is collapsing below us. It's just, it's gone. It's disappearing. And we end up popping back up into my subconscious. And, of course, I took a few moments just to gather my thoughts, and I looked at my lead, and I said, okay, let's do one more sweep here. And what's interesting is that there was a different energy. Obviously, without the evil, there was an opportunity to actually see clearly, and I could see my imagination and my subconscious and everything more clearly. Different energy, different light. We crawled back down the tunnel to my dojo, sealed the door. I looked at my lead, did one more once around, just to make sure that nothing weird was happening. And again, this is during the time back in November when we were still vetting our teams. So, it was a little touch and go. Who do we trust? What do we do? I then meditated for about 25 more minutes just to clear my thoughts. And since then, I've not had any bad dreams. I've not had the nightmares. I've not had the screaming memes where, I sound like I'm getting my skin pulled off me in the middle of the night. I don't wake up anymore with thinking there's someone in my room. I mean, there were many years I've woken up thinking Satan is standing in my room himself. There's none of that. And I can actually sleep through the night unless I eat something stupid, of course, right? pastrami sandwich or something. But, I mean, yeah, overall my energy is different. And this is just about the time, too, when everything was happening with the team. So after vetting my team, I now can trust the energy. I know my lead is my lead. He's got my back. I know my forces are my forces. And not every night, but every other night or now or so, I go through my subconscious just to make sure everything's okay. But it was real, and as real as it could be, there's a marked difference now from making sure that there's no evil in my head. And any psychiatrist would probably think that was funny, but we all know where it's going, so that was my experience.
All right.
Wow.
Lightstream.
Okay, so back in January, I know that Trilant had sent out an email saying that my healing master was gone, and this is the experience I had. So in the morning, I was doing my morning meditation, and usually my team is either plugged in or, you know, I can. Or they plug, you know, I ask them to plug right in and we're good to go. Well, that morning it was just like I sat down, started my morning meditation, and I'm like, okay, where's my team? Where are they? You know, so I was like, okay, well, you know, plug in. And there was nothing. And I'm like, what's going on? It was just, the strangest feeling. And so then my psychic surgeon, Linus, he finally plugged in. And but Jonas wasn't there, who was my healing master. And it was the strangest feeling because my one hand, usually my hands are buzzing, and one hand was, you know, completely just nothing there, just silence basically. And the other one, you know, was buzzing. So I was like, so I continued on meditating, and I I ended up, you know, going into my house, and you know, I was talking to my team, and it's interesting enough because usually when something's going on, my whole team is just really, really quiet for, you know, whatever I think is just trying to get my attention, and they do. So I was vetting everybody, you know, because of, you know, everything that happened in the past. I'm always on high alert, almost probably too much, but it was strange because I felt good. Like I didn't have any, you know, chest pains. I was, you know, I felt good while I was meditating, but I just felt different. So I meditated. I did, you know, collected my energy, did all that, and then finished up. And then I contacted Trisus to, you know, tell him about my experience because I was kind of confused because I kind of knew, like I thought back and a while back that we had, you know, discussed that maybe at some point that this was going to happen. But yeah, I still, you know, was just kind of confused. So Trisus and I had talked a little bit and just trying to figure out what was going on. And I told him, I said, well, let me spend some time with my team and my lead and, you know, see what's going on, kind of everything out, and I'll, you know, we'll talk a little bit later. So I spent time later that morning with my lead, and that's when I started getting, like, really bad, like, chest pains. Like, I felt like I was having a heart attack my chest was caving in. So when I was spending time with him, Leo was telling me, he's like, you know, it felt like he was in hell. Usually when, you know, something bad, my chest hurts and all that. And so we had talked, and he was like, he is in hell. You know, we knew he was in hell. And so me, I wanted to go. Like, let's go. Let's go get him right now. You know, I was on my way. And he kept on saying, no, you can't. It's a trap. No. You know, and I says, well, what do you mean? I says, this isn't okay. Like, this is our team member. Like, no one's getting left behind. Like, this isn't okay. And he just kept, no, you have to wait. You have to wait. It's a trap. And I was like, okay. So then Trisus and I were talking throughout the day and then trying to figure out, you know, what exactly was going on. Trisus was in contact with Triland. And then finally, later in the evening, it was finally decided that that I needed to go get him. And so
So I went in and I meditated again that night. And again, still obviously no Jonas. And so we were in my house, and this was going to be my first battle with my team. And I had a struggle with my team and getting the right team together. And so I had a hard time trusting, you know, after everything, you know, I was still working through everything from previous. So for me to have to go into battle with these, and my angel that I don't even know, you know, I don't even know if I can, you know, I hope that I can trust them. I don't know if I can. Like, that was, it was very difficult. So I was like, all right, we're going to do this then. So we got to go get Jonas. So we were in my house and we're all ready for battle. I was nervous. And so then we're almost ready to go. And Trisus, he kept on telling me, he says, just keep your energy flowing. Just keep on breathing. Keep your energy flowing. You'll be fine. Your lead will take you. And so I was ready to go. And then I'm like, wait, you know, kind of chicken out for a second. I'm like, I need to talk to Jesus. So Jesus shows up in my house, and he, you know, he's calming down, and he's like, you know, almost like I needed a pep talk. And he, you know, he's telling me, you're good. Your team is good. You guys can do this. You know, he says, you know, gives me a hug. He says, you'll be all right. He says, I'll be waiting for you when you guys get back. You can do this. Go. So off we went. And so as we got closer into hell, it was like I couldn't breathe almost. It was so debilitating. It hurt. And I, you know, Leo, we often went and followed him. And when I felt like I couldn't breathe anymore, I just kept on thinking, keep on breathing, just keep the energy flowing, you'll be fine. So we made it into hell, and right before, you know, we get there, it's like my team and I, we were talking, it was like, we got to be ready, we got to go in there, we, you know, just be ready, because we know that they're waiting. We know that they know that, you know, they know that we're coming. So after that, we charge in. And, I mean, it's, like, all I could see was just that Satan's army. Like, it was just as far as I could see. And Jonas was smack dab, like, in the middle of them. And so we just took off just battling just to go get him. You know, we just went in, grabbed him. You know, he was bound and gagged and everything else. So we made our way through. We got him, and we just took off, like, in and out kind of thing. And as we were leaving, it was like they were following us, almost like it was like we're almost in like a tunnel, like coming back out, and it was like you could feel them like grabbing at you and trying to pull you back, and it was gross. Like, that feeling, ugh, makes my skin crawl just talking about it. So we made it back and into my house, and guess who was waiting for us? Jesus was there. Now I'm getting emotional. So we were shaking off the battle, and it was great. I mean, it was great. It was such a relief that, you know, it was our first battle together. We made it through. And Jesus, he had, once we got back there, you know, he wanted us to sit down and talk about what was, you know, going on. I'm sorry, my dog is barking. I'll switch rooms here a minute. But it was basically I don't like to use the word test, but basically a test for my team and for myself. And it was hold on, switching rooms here. So we were talking, and the thing that, you know, that came out of it for me, especially, and for my team, it was about loyalty, and that, you know, the nobody left behind, and being loyal, you know, to ourselves and to each other. And another thing was confidence. Like, I had to have, you know, I don't want to say it like just building my own confidence that, you know, that I can do this again. You know, everything's going to be fine. And then another thing that was learned from it was trust, me trusting my team and my team trusting me that, you know, we can make the right decisions and we can do the right things. And then the last one was obedience. And it was about listening and it's not just reacting. I know a lot of times for myself, I struggle with that, just being reactive rather than, you know, stopping, gathering, and then, you know, reacting once you know. So, and then it moved, you know, so then it all brought us obviously a lot closer together. And then Jesus had said to my team that it's time for us to go see Father. So we go to the throne room, and Father spoke to us and about everything that we had learned. And he said to me, he says, it's time for Jonas to go. And it was, and at that time, he had, for whatever reason, I can tell when I'm like being pulled to a different realm, it feels like somebody is almost like pulling me by the back of my shirt almost. And so when he was saying it's time for Jonas to go, then I was like pulled to a different realm in eternity. And I wish I could like show everybody what it was, but it was amazing. It was amazing. And the only, like I said, it was like, it just felt like just breathtaking and so peaceful. And the word that finally I could actually come up with it was just pure bliss. And it, you know, I looked up the meaning of bliss because bliss kept on popping into my head, and it was perfect happiness and great joy. And I think the reason, and I'm not quite sure, but the reason I think I was taken to a different realm in eternity was because I'd been praying for Father to show me the different realms in eternity. And so I got to see that. So then once I was back from that realm, it was, I asked Father, I said, you know, and it was kind of dumb, but we were having a question, and I said, are you sure about this? I just got Jonas back. Are you sure? Like, we're good. We're a team. Like, are you sure about this? You know? And I looked at him, and I'm like, and he's like, yes. You know, it's time for him to go. And I'm like, oh, man, all right, I guess. So I asked him, I said, you know, can I at least say goodbye? You know, so this time, that was much, I get choked up with this. It was so much different than the other times when I had to say, you know, goodbye to my, you know, my team, you know, before I was killing them, you know, because they were evil. And this time it was just, it was great. I mean, I was so thankful. You know, I thanked him for his help and, you know, thanked him for teaching me how to, you know, love and be able to trust again. And It was much different. It was, I guess it was just bittersweet, you know, just finally got a relationship with him and then he was taken. So lots of tears of love and joy, which was totally different than all the other times. And then two angels had come down after I got done saying goodbye to him, and they took him and they flew away. So
nice.
So yeah. So that's that. So, and yeah, so it's definitely interesting being without a healing master, but I'm like, I still function. Like, that's why I still surprise myself sometimes. I'm like, wait, I'm still functioning normally, because I wasn't quite sure how it was all, you know, going to be. So I just kind of just took it as it is at, you know, face value, and just kind of, you know, just kind of go with it. And I don't know. I feel more, I don't know, solid, I guess, secure, solid. I don't know. I just, you know, leading to up to all of it, I feel different, but good, so.
Good. So, Al, you've been to hell, I can officially welcome you to the team, because I really appreciate
it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. We're going to go a little bit over today. I hope that's okay. If somebody has to go, I completely understand. It should only be about another 10 minutes is what I'm shooting for here. So if Atmos, want to tell your story, please.
Yeah, sure. Last month, divine service. Before service started, I was praying and kind of collecting my thoughts. And I just want to preface this story with I don't really have the ability to see much. When I meditate, I can see kind of where I'm at and what I'm doing, but I can't see people. I can see dim outlines and that type of thing. So as I was praying, I had been having some thoughts that had been kind of bothering me the last couple of days or so leading up to the service, and they had been kind of plaguing me my whole life. And I was starting to get really annoyed with them. So while I was in the center of my mind, I just said, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will leave, and you'll leave now. And as soon as I did that, I felt this tingle and almost felt this darkness kind of in the center of my mind shoot straight down into my heart. And I was like, okay, that's not good. So I immediately into my heart, and because I can't see, I was like, okay, I'm never going to find whatever that was if I don't invoke Christ's name again. So that's what I did. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will show yourself now. And that's exactly what happened. It kind of blew my mind away when this little black-colored demon that looked like a fairly large dog that had been run over and mangled, had fangs sticking out the side of his mouth, and just showed right up in front of me. And I was like, well, okay. So I pulled out my sword, and I rested it on his shoulder. And I call it the demon cleaver, even though I don't think it's really cleaved any demons yet. It just sounds cool. brought the sword up to his neck and said, you know, how long have you been here? And he said, I've been with you since you were young. So I said, well, you know, here's the deal. I said, you have two choices. I said, the first choice is you can be bound and taken in front of Father, and he will deal with you as he sees fit. You can, maybe you can repent. I don't know. That's up to him. I said, or we can just end it all right now, and I can take your head. He chose to go in front of Father, so I asked my lead, who at the time was Levion, to bind him and take him in front of Father. And as soon as I saw them depart, I mean, I felt a lot lighter. And those thoughts that had been running through my mind went away. And it was an overwhelming feeling, and it was great. It was peace at last, basically, from those thoughts. The next day, I got a vision of this guy. Still pretty emotional every time I think about it, but I got the vision from Father. This demon had been restored to his former glory. He repented to Father, and Father forgave him. And it's kind of hard to explain because he was happy again. Awesome. And it really meant a lot for Father to show that to me. So that was the experience. That was a good one.
Very cool.
Wow.
Brilliant. Can you just kind of skim over the dailies? We're kind of running short on time.
Absolutely. I'll do this very quick. So the reason that this was put together is just to make sure we're all on the same page with everyone coming onto this team at different times. This was originally created for myself because I confess that I had become very complacent with my dailies, and I'm a checklist kind of gal, and I want to hang this, you know, up by my bathroom so I don't forget. So it's a working document. So if anyone else has any other suggestions, please feel free to send them to me, and then I'll get them passed by Tryland, and we'll add this to the list. The daily maintenance: number one, ground yourself. Change a cord at least once every day. Colorful cords, of course, maximize energy conduction, and attach all chakras to the main cord. Run energy as needed. Earth energy, of course, being greenish-brown from the ground to the bottom of our feet. Cosmic energy, sparkly white from the universe through the top of our heads. Collect energy as needed. And by creating a sunshine ball of energy, pull back energy. Either you and or your team can pull back your energy for anywhere you've been. Please, as we've learned in the past, feel free to screen out any negative energy returning to you so that doesn't come back into your space. Add any aspirations of peace, joy, patience, success, health, anything that you're trying to be better at to that ball of energy before popping in and allowing to fill your space. Rein in your aura. Keep your aura very close to you. Protect your space daily. Create the protection rows and a level of protection determined by you and what your activity is going to be for that day. Don't forget to pog protect yourself, creating a pog shield around your aura. And absolutely protect your subconscious entry points for reasons that Trisus had mentioned earlier. Stay in the center of mind. Practice makes perfect. Staying in the center of our mind always. Plugging in our team as needed. When you need help, plug them in, but don't plug them in all the time because we've seen that we can get very lazy if we're having them do everything for us. They do not need to be plugged in to help somebody else. Weekly maintenance, quickly, full meditation, dedicated meditation into each of the chakras, meetings with your counseling angel, weekly meetings with your entire team. A team healing, have your team, healing master and psychic surgeon, give you a healing at least weekly. And meet with the archangels. Get to know each of the archangels by their name and their gift. A few additional suggestions, meet with Jesus. Ask Jesus to spend time with you while meditating. He knows best how to serve and delight our Heavenly Father. So since that's our purpose, definitely encourage everyone to meet with him. Putting on the armor of God, we all have our armor, and in this document, it'll describe what the armor of God, which is described in Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. I'll go over that briefly in a second. Build a relationship with your teammates. Since we're going to be working together for eternity, it's really great to get to know who everyone is and what their gifts are. It was really fun to learn about everyone's name and how Father looks at them. Everyone on this team has different gifts and talents, and the more that we know those and feel each other's energy, the more confident that we'll have in fighting against evil and working together for eternity. There's a contact list posted on the team website if you don't have someone's email or cell phone list. Be mindful of our own spaces. Be relentless in knowing your own energy and when your space has been compromised or corrupted. Evil enters our space through a thought, even when we haven't invited it. And lastly, we're encouraging everyone to contribute on conference calls. With everyone's schedule being different and their availability being different, this is another way where we can encourage working together, building trust with one another, and understanding each other's gifts. Really quickly, in 1 minute or less, I'd like to read what the armor of God looks like. This is something that I put on every day in addition to never taking off the armor that is given to us on this team. In Ephesians, the armor of God is described as, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on this full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And just really quickly, if you think about this additional armor that we have access to is written in Scripture, the shoes of peace, so that wherever we step, we may bring peace and we can be surrounded by peace and we create peace. And Triland has talked to all of us and how when we step into a room, we actually change the energy there. The breastplate of righteousness, which ironically covers our heart chakra, that's Father's righteousness, and that's extra protection against the evil and the circumstances that can affect our heart, because our heart can affect our attitude and our spirituality and our peace. The helmet of salvation, covering the sixth and seventh chakras. If we put on the helmet of salvation, that means we're constantly thinking and keeping our eyes on the prize so that Satan will have less access, because it's through our thoughts that he comes in, even uninvited. The shield of faith, so that when we're being exposed to something, evil and Satan, we have the shield of faith. We know who our God is. We know who Jesus Christ is. We know who the Holy Spirit is. And this faith protects us against what the world wants us to believe. In the last conference call, we talked about the shield of joy. So we have a shield of joy to protect us against anything that's going to cause our thoughts or emotions to be hijacked by Satan. And having the belt of truth, that we stand in Father's truth, that we always speak the truth, and we bring the truth to others because the truth sets all of us free. And then lastly, knowing the word of God and having the sword of his word, because his word is everything. So that information will be listed on the document as well. And if anyone has any additional recommendations, suggestions, please, by all means, we'd like this to be a working document as we learn more and more how to protect ourselves and how we collect information on fighting evil. Any questions?
What was that Bible verse again?
The Bible verse is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 19. And the version that I read was the NIV version.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
You tired now?
Trialand.
No, go ahead.
It's Blazar. I just want to let everybody know that I appreciate your prayers. I would request if I could have a, you know, if the generals and you would stay on the call.
Yeah.
I would like to speak with you guys about certain things.
Okay. That's fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
To tie everything up, I need to make sure that everybody understands what your role and responsibilities are. We have the team website. It is a wonderful resource for everything that we're doing. If you have a question about how to take care of something or how to handle a situation, I would encourage you to go to the team site and pull up the notes. Look at the notes from the different meetings, and then based on those notes, you'll know which recording to go listen to. Or if you can't find what you're looking for, then contact one of us, generals or myself, and we can figure it out for you. Next team meeting. Go ahead.
I just have a question about our team site. Is there any way to put like a search in there? So, like if we have like a keyword or something, it can help us like pull up which like notes it would be in.
Let me talk to Fred, and I'll find out if that's even a possibility.
Ooh, okay. Good idea.
And I'll get back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, the next team meeting is going to be Friday, March 6th at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and I would like to pray with all of you. I want to thank everybody for participating today, those of you who shared your experiences, and those of you who even just were able to make it on the call. Everybody was here except Nucleos. He actually broke his wrist snowboarding, and he had surgery this past Thursday. Q gave him a healing. He contacted me and said he's doing better. So I would ask you all to please pray for Nucleos that he can recover quickly and we can start his training when he gets to be 100%. Does anybody have anything else they want to add before we pray? Okay. Then let's pray. Gracious Father, we bow before you and we bring our hearts. They are filled with thanks, they are filled with praise, and they are filled with joy. Because you are the one who has engineered everything for us. And even though, Father, we have some teammates who have been stepped down or removed, we pray for them in this prayer, that they find your grace and your joy, that they are able, Father, to heal from all this as well. They are our sisters. We love them. We will continue, Father, to support them in any way we can. We pray that you will open their eyes to see what it is that they're doing. If it is not correct, you will help them to have the strength they need to overcome it. See the cares and concerns of the hearts that have gathered here. We know that Blazar's cousin passed away this week. The funeral was today. We pray for him specifically that you will show some extra grace on him because Blazar is one of us. He is also your son. He has also fought, Father, and done many things in the past to help, Father, with this work. We know, Father, that none of us ever does anything because we expect you to do one thing. So it's merely my way of just asking, please. Show some special favoritism. Why not? You can. We pray also for Tranquility, Father, where she's been sick for many months now, or weeks, I should say. We've asked her healing angel to step up their effort to make her feel better, but you are the one, Father, who causes or allows certain things to happen in our lives. We don't want to interfere with that, but we pray for strength, for tranquility. We appreciate that she's on the call. And all the hearts, Father, that are here, all the concerns that they have, the cares, the needs, the wants, everybody, Father, wants to serve you now. We are all confident. We all have a feeling in our heart, as you said at the beginning of the address of this meeting, that we feel different towards each other. I can feel their hearts more now than I have in the past. And I appreciate that. I love them so much, Father, and I thank you that you have given them to me to work together to help support your goal in bringing the bride home. And I appreciate, Father, all that you do for us and the things that you say to us, the time you take in our lives to even spend a few moments defining for us why you gave us the names you gave us and what they mean and represent. That was huge for all of us to know why. Sometimes, Father, we go through life and we don't want to ask you why because you don't really ever owe us an explanation, but thank you for making that extra effort to bring us all closer to you. See again the needs monetarily, Father, spiritually, whatever anyone needs, we bring them before you now and we lay them out in front of you, please. Father, be kind. Grant us strength through the week. We look forward to training. At most this weekend, we pray, Father, for your blessing on his team that will be assigned to him and that he's able to comprehend everything that we teach him and move forward and become an asset to the team. We pray, Father, for any care or concern that someone has that you know of. We don't have to. And we pray, Father, for your strength now, for your wisdom. Bless everybody who's looking for employment. Anybody who has any secret petition, Father, bless all their families and their spouses, too. Fill all their hearts, Father, with peace, because it's been a while since all of us have had that. And that is a rare trait that all of us need. So we pray also for our leadership in the church. We pray, Father, for your grace. We pray for eternity, Father. If there's something we've forgotten, I know you'll cover it. And according to what we ask these things and know how much we love you. Thank you, Father. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Thank
you. I love you guys. Thank you so much for your prayers.
Yep. We love you.
Absolutely.
See you guys.
Bye.
Have a great week, everyone.
Absolutely.
Bryce, do you have time to stay on the call?
Yeah.